بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. There were a couple of points that I thought good to be shared with brothers and sisters. One is regarding what just happened these last couple of days between Hezbollah and the Zionist regime. This new cabinet, for whatever reasons and motives they had, they decided to try Hezbollah, I guess, or maybe they were more foolish than that and thought that they could change the dynamics of the relationship that had been established since 2006 and the Lebanon War, the 33-day war, and they decided to attack certain targets that were minor targets, but the idea was to push those boundaries that had been set, the rules that had been set by Hezbollah since that war, which was any attack would be retaliated. They thought they could either test this, or they thought that Hezbollah is not going to retaliate, and that would be the change, or a change in the rules to the benefit of the Zionists. And alhamdulillah, of course, Hezbollah retaliated very seriously. Israel tried afterwards to show that it's not backing down. I don't think Hezbollah is going to allow that to go unanswered. There will be probably a second attack, maybe a third and fourth as well, but I don't think it's going to go that far. Israel knows it cannot engage in anything serious with Hezbollah. The only thing that will lead to is the destruction of the Zionist regime further than what it already has itself in. This may seem like a very small incident. However, it isn't a small incident. It is the last attempts of the Zionist regime to try to come back from the depths that it has gotten itself in with the Muqawama, the resistance growing stronger and stronger and defeating the Zionists further and further. A new administration, I think, was thinking perhaps we can change this for their own political gains and motives domestically in Israel against Netanyahu and some of the other parties and so on and so forth. But also, besides that, the Zionist regime, that ship is sinking. It's a sinking ship. And if it sinks, they're all gone. So the desire to put in what they thought would be a more effective attempt at saving the Zionist regime, and it has and will continue to fail. And not only will it fail at what they intended, it will cause the quickening and the haste and the destruction of the Zionist regime as well. This point is what I find important for us to remember and to be reminded of. It is important for all believers worldwide. What is that? That is, Hezbollah is an entity that started as just a few youth wanting to stand against the Israeli aggression. No support, and the only thing they relied on was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah brought to their support a government, a people, a nation, newly established the Islamic Republic, who was also under a lot of pressure, a lot of trouble it was in based on material standards, but they knew it was their taklif, their responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support the Lebanese people and these youth particularly that have decided to stand against these aggressions. They started that small in the early 80s, and now it is around 40 years that they have been established. 40 years is not too long of a time for a movement, for a government, for social matters, developments. It's not a very long time. It's not too short either, but it's not a very long time. But it's enough to show us a clear example of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And that is, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. This group of youth that did not form any part of the Lebanese government, they were not enough to be considered even a part of the Lebanese military. They were an organization, an armed group, a few youth coming together and trying to do their part. 40 years from that point, today we see that a regime supported by all the powers of the world, the biggest superpower, as they still consider themselves, the United States of America, is supporting them. Western governments, generally European governments, all supporting them with everything, with money, with political influence, with the UN, with military donations, with whatever equipment that they ask for, whatever support, plus all the media that is in the control of the Zionists, and the other governments have to basically maneuver based on the public opinion created by the Zionists. That small group of youth was up against this Tawhut that is global. And today, that group of youth, those youth, are part of an organization that they are so afraid of that they are trying to pressure European countries to consider even the political activities of Hezbollah to be terrorists and to shut them down and not allow anyone to support them on any level anywhere in the world. They're that afraid of Hezbollah. In this regime that had all the resources available to it that we know of today is now trying to make a little bit of fire in some of the southern regions of Lebanon to say that, oh, we retaliated from the rockets shot by Hezbollah just to save face. And Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan, may Allah protect him and prolong his life until the coming of the Imam of our time, inshallah, and beyond. He told others that are part of the axis of the resistance in the region that we should make Quds a red line. Any type of activity of the Zionists to cause and make and force Palestinians out of their homes in Quds or to do anything to Masjid al-Aqsa is a red line that will be answered or retaliated by Hezbollah and the rest of the Muqawama in the region. That's the level of strength that Hezbollah has reached. This is important for us to know, and it's important for us to know how this can happen, as this will help all the youth anywhere in the world where they're dealing with a taghut, which is either their government or an aggressing government from outside of their borders, when they want to resist and they want to go against. We need to understand, any analysis that attributes this victory and triumph of Hezbollah to anything but the Quranic principles that will be outlined is not true, and it does not match the facts that are out there. You can't pinpoint any of the supporters or even the believers within Hezbollah to have been the source of these victories. And the leaders of those movements, the leader of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan has repeatedly said this, they are dealing with this on a regular basis. They know this more than anyone. This is not a claim against what they have said. This is a claim against those who try to bring excuses and say, well, Hezbollah did it, you can do it as well. Look who they went against. And responses are, well, Hezbollah was this, they had this support, they had that support. These are wrong analysis. These are wrong forms of analysis. Hezbollah was able to do this only based on the Quranic principle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. God is our Mawla. God is the one we should rely on. Wa 'ala Allahi falyatawakkalul mutawakkilun. You should rely only on Allah. 'Ala Allahi falyatawakkal. Not falyatawakkal 'ala Allah. No. 'Ala Allahi, that precedence, making what you rely on, putting those words before the verb of reliance, in Arabic means and gives the understanding that that is the only thing you should rely on. So, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. You should only rely on Allah. It wasn't for any particular it wasn't because of Imad Mughniyah's intelligence. Imad Mughniyah himself knows, that great shaheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him with the thoughts and protected him when he needed to be protected. He knows that better than anyone else. Sayyid Hassan knows this better than anyone else. You can't rely and you shouldn't rely on anything except on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people, when a group of youth, when believers rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not matter how, on a material and superficial level, how weak, how few, how small, how resourceless those few are. And it doesn't matter how great their opposition is, how resourceful, how great superficially in terms of military, government, police, intelligence, FBI, CIA, this, that, the other, media, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is this. Did you rely on Allah and did you do what He said? That's the only thing that matters. If we do that, regardless of that opposition, Allah says, I will make that movement succeed. Don't ever, in your conversations regarding what to do and what not to do, even bring it as an element in that discussion regarding should we do something or should we not do something, that they're very powerful. The moment you bring that in, that is a weakness in faith that will jeopardize the movement, will jeopardize the victory of the believers, because you're no longer relying on Allah. You decide not to. You considered that the greatness, magnificence, resources, and whatever they have of the enemies of Islam to be greater than that of Allah. You don't want to rely on Allah. Allahu Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No one can do anything without His will. The moment you think that they can, you're no longer, and that is going to cause a defeat. We have a story in the Quran and in the history of Islam, an example The Battle of Uhud has three stages. There's the original and initial winning of the believers. That's one stage. Second, the defeat of the believers after they disobeyed the command of the Prophet. And third, a final victory, not that the battle was won, but the victory of preserving Islam and continuing and not allowing the enemies of Islam to defeat Islam. That was the goal of the Battle of Uhud, to defeat Islam. They weren't able to do that. A battle in the war basically continued. The battle was lost, but the war continued. The side of the believers, the Prophet and his followers, if they would have been defeated in the war, then it would have been over. Islam would have been over. That was the objective of the Battle of Uhud, to finish it off. But that didn't happen. That is the third stage of the war that happened. The second stage was a defeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to a question in the Quran regarding this defeat. Well, weren't these believers, didn't you say you support? God says, I granted you, you believers who were doing what I told you, I granted you victory. But then I took that victory away when you turned away. That's very important. As long as we continue on this path and we do not consider how great they may seem, the opposition, the tyrant, the tyranny that we're facing, as long as we don't consider that and we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to, the best that we can think of in terms of assisting God's religion and going against the tyranny that we're facing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory. There is no way out of that. That's a divine promise. It's absolutely impossible. What we're saying is, if we have any doubts, God forbid, that what the Quran says is exactly true, 110% true, if we have any doubts regarding that, and hopefully we don't, if we're asking, it's like Ibrahim asking Allah, can you show me how it's done? God asks him, do you not believe? He says, I believe, but I want my heart to have that tranquility. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. For that we ask. If for that we ask, then here we have it. This example of a group of youth, very small in number, very small in their resources. The only thing they had was trusting in Allah and doing whatever they can, as that is God's command. Do for me whatever you can. I will assist you. For 40 years of it, we see. We see this happening. And so all of us should learn from this example that the principle is mentioned in the Quran. Many times we start having doubts and second thoughts. We should always look at these examples, as the Quran gives us examples of previous nations, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted prophets, previous nations, and so on and so forth. But we have this example right before us. We experienced this. The last point that I'd like to mention is Muharram is approaching. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. I hope that the believers are all going to be commemorating Imam al-Hussein and the events of Karbala. One thing I want to mention in this regard is that we should know the movement of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein was against tyranny and for the establishment of Islam, the government of Islam on the face of the earth. That's what his movement was about, and that's what his commemorations that Imam Zain al-Abidin and Zainab salamullahi alayha started right after his shahada. The purpose of upholding that shahada and what happened in Karbala and going to Karbala on the first Arba'een after Ashura, the purpose of that, and then continuing it on after that by Imam Zain al-Abidin, by Imam al-Baqir, by Imam al-Sadiq, so much emphasis in visiting Karbala, remembering Imam al-Hussein, is that these commemorations, these ceremonies, the beating of the chest, the recitations, the speeches, the get-togethers, all of that will continue the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and will lead to the final victory of Islam and the establishment of the government of the Imam of our time. That's the objective of the commemorations of Muharram. Unfortunately, some of our commemorations have turned into sessions that pacify us and tell us it's fine to accept status quo, it's fine to accept the tyranny of the U.S. government for those who are in the U.S., the Canadian government for those who are in Canada, the British government for those who are in the U.K., the French for those... That's what the purpose of these sessions has turned out to be. This is what is happening one way or another. It is important for the believers, for the masses, to demand that the sessions get back on track with the objective of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. If people don't make this a demand and insist upon it and try to make these changes, we will all be responsible for our sessions of commemoration that are supposed to be dedicated to the purpose of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Not a cultural event. It needs to be dedicated to the purpose and objective of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. If we don't do something about this, eventually our sessions are going to turn into something completely different, and God forbid they will have nothing to do with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Instead, God forbid, they will turn into sessions that will do the opposite and the contrary to what Abu Abdullah al-Hussein wanted, and therefore it will no longer be the majlis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It'll be the majlis of Yazid with the title of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, similar to that mal'oon Yazid who was sitting on a pulpit claiming to be the Khalifa of Rasulullah while he beheaded the grandson and the Imam of the Muslimin in Karbala through his command. This is what we will be part of, God forbid if we don't do so. I think it's very necessary for people who are aware to make sure that they don't allow organizers of the various centers, Husayniyat, Masajid, wherever these programs are held, to deviate from the path of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We ask Imam al-Hussein, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, and we ask his mother, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, to grant us all the tawfiq, the ability to commemorate Muharram in the most pleasing way to them, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.